Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through the underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kingdon Barker. 6 out of 10 people in the developed world wear glasses, contact lenses, or have corrective eye surgery. 6 out of 10 people in the developing world are also vision impaired, but have little or no access to eye care or eyeglasses. Eye Care International, Inc. is a non-religious, non-political, non-discriminatory, non-profit organization that improves people's lives by providing the gift of better vision and health. The organization, its mission, and how it carries it out are today's topic. My guests for today's show are Philip Ortiz, an optometrist and founder of Eye Care International, who will be joining us by phone from Illinois. Jim Patterson, who's former board of supervisor and a volunteer for the past 3 years with Eye Care International, who's going to talk about his experience with the organization and his trips in service of the organization. Lee Livick, who is also a volunteer with Eye Care International, and Habnia Hernandez, who's an AVID student, and we're going to learn more about what AVID is and how this serves the organization and its mission. And our show today is live, and we invite you to join the conversation with your comments and questions by calling us at area code 805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. And first, I want to welcome all of you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Chris.
And thank you, Phil, for joining us from the Midwest.
It's my privilege. Thank you.
So, you know, the first question I want to pose to you, Phil, is you started this organization how long ago?
Well, Eye Care International, we incorporated in 1989.
Wow.
But I had been doing other mission trips with another organization in 1977. I did my first one to Honduras with VOSH, VOSH. Then we did another one in 79, and I did one every year since then. And then in the late 80s, we decided to we wanted to do more things than what VOSH was doing, and that's how we happened to get started. So
was there some kind of defining moment or something that happened?
My parents were immigrants from Mexico. They both swam the river in 1915, 1920, something like that. And they became citizens, and when I was in optometry school in 1963, and in 1969, I went with them to visit my dad's brother, my uncle, in Mexico, and I saw how little they had, and I thought, well, maybe I could do something someday. So when I heard about these VOSH trips, that's how I joined, and that's kind of got me started doing these eye mission trips. So when we formed Eye Care International, we not only did optometry, but we did hearing aids and eye surgery as well. So we've helped, I don't know how many hundred thousand people, but there are a lot of them. So I don't know what else I can tell you, but that's what got me started. My parents were immigrants, and I saw what their relatives had was nothing in Mexico, and it's still down there. So,
and how do you decide what countries to go to, Phil?
Well, as I would use the word serendipity, it's just a matter of chance, I guess. Right now, we're going to Guatemala again because, as I think we mentioned earlier, that we've done a lot of trips to Mexico, but Mexico customs is very, very difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And you mean to get into the country?
Pardon me?
To get into the country?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. We have to go through jump through a lot of hoops, and if we don't jump just right, then they, like this year, they confiscated about 8,000 pairs of glasses in Huatulco, in the state of Oaxaca in Mexico, from another one of our teams. And they still have the glasses, and they still have some of our equipment, and we'll never see it again. So it's kind of discouraging.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So obviously you don't want to lose everything that you've worked so hard to gather, especially when it's not getting to the people it's intended for.
Exactly. And in fact, that trip was in January. Then in February, we had a trip planned to Guanajuato, Mexico. That's my home, my mother's home state, and I have done many eye trips there. And I thought my contact there was with the doctor who was with the government, and so we talked early on, and he said, "Well, yeah, well, I'll be glad to help you." So we made contact, but unfortunately, he turned it over to someone else, who dropped the ball and didn't follow through on all his instructions, recommendations, and so we wound up canceling. The trip, we didn't make a trip to Guanajuato, and that was it's a beautiful city, and I know some people went. I don't know if Lee went. Did you go, Lee?
No, I wasn't able to go due to family reasons.
Some people went, and they loved it. So, and it's kind of a sad thing. So we're kind of discouraged about going to Mexico again. And I am, at least. So
yeah, and who is it that's confiscating the materials?
Well, the customs, the federal.
So it's the federal government.
Yeah, the government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, it's kind of disturbing, and I don't want to make any waves because it's just not good to make waves. I don't want anybody to get mad at iCare International.
Right.
So we just kind of just take it and we move on. So we're going to Guatemala, and we've been to different countries in Latin America, and Costa Rica, Ecuador,
Honduras, Peru.
Honduras many times, but that's also now kind of scary with all the military stuff that we saw the last time we were there. Scary to me, at least. So,
when you go on these trips, what kind of work is provided on these trips? Jim, you've been on, you said, three different service trips?
Actually, four. But two to Honduras, Guatemala, and Peru. And there are people in the country who help organize and coordinate the clinics and find the site and that sort of thing. But you know, the thing that compels me, Chris, about going is it's an opportunity to visit parts of countries that you wouldn't see ordinarily and meet people that you wouldn't ordinarily meet if you were traveling as a tourist. And at the same time, you're able to do good work
mm-hmm.
for folks. Many of the people that we see, in fact, most of the people we see, have never had an eye exam. We see elderly people as well as children.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for the children, it's a key time for them to have their eyes examined and get glasses so they can progress successfully through school and just have a better life altogether. And, you know, Honduras, it's the poorest country in Central America, and the need is great, and people travel many, many hours to get to the clinics. Yes, there's a little uncertainty there regarding the government. You know, our clinics are protected by armed guards. It's a little unsettling. It's not something that we're used to seeing here.
Right.
But it was very prevalent in Honduras, not so much in Guatemala or Peru.
Okay. Okay. And about how many of these service trips, Phil, do you think since the 80s this organization has had now?
Oh, gosh. I had the list here somewhere. It's something like 75, something like that.
Okay. And all of the individuals who provide these services are volunteers?
Everybody's a volunteer. Everybody pays their own expenses, airfare, hotel, food, etc. So nobody gets paid. And so
that's pretty amazing.
It's completely volunteer.
And how long are the clinics for?
Well, generally we try to when I first started, we used to work 5 days, and we'd see 800 to 1,000 patients a day.
Oh, my goodness.
I've gotten older. I got smarter, and now we see about 500 people a day for 4 days, so we'll see about 2,000 patients.
You see 500 a day? With how many professionals are seeing?
Well, we have... usually, if we can have 6 or 8 professionals, we have that. That'll be plenty. But like this coming year and next year, in 2017, we're going to Guatemala, and we have 6 professionals lined up at this point. And we'll have like 30 to 35 lay volunteers.
Okay.
And everybody gets to do something. Everybody is needed, and everybody is necessary. So.
And Jim, you've said you've done 4 trips. Now, you're not an optometrist.
Right. There's lots of volunteer opportunities. We're all trained at various stations throughout the clinic. People are processed through a station. There's intake. And elderly folks particularly, plus those who may identify a problem in the intake process, they'll see a nurse, and we do diabetes screening as well as blood pressure to check for hypertension, and then we have that information. They can be referred to doctors, but we with volunteers do visual acuity. That's where you look at the chart and
right.
get a sense of how good their vision is in the beginning, and then we have a fairly highly trained core of people distributing and fitting the glasses. We take as many as 6,000 pairs of prescription glasses with us that are all cataloged. And that's one of the things that we do here in the States to prepare for the clinic. We neutralize the glasses. That's to identify the prescription. And then we catalog them so we can find them again.
And that's where the AVID students come in.
The AVID students are instrumental in doing that part. You know, the patient will go through these various stations. They see the optometrist. The optometrist writes a prescription, and then it goes to the distribution portion of the clinic. And each station has anywhere from 4 to 8 volunteers working at each station. So there's quite a number of volunteer needs with each clinic. As Phil said, 6 to 8 doctors actually do the exams, and then volunteers take it from there.
We also have a number of people that are translators. We also, you know, not only translators for Spanish, but then we have local people, because a lot of times it's a dialect that is
right.
nothing like Spanish. So we have local people that speak not only the dialect but Spanish. So we have, you know, from English to Spanish, then Spanish to the dialect, then the dialect to dialect, and then back again.
Right.
And in the Guatemala clinic that I attended, we also had lucky enough to have a number of optometry students that attended. So they not only had an amazing experience, but they were extremely helpful in the, you know, in that station. So.
And I saw, Phil, that you, for instance, you've had clinics in Oaxaca, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've done many clinics in Oaxaca.
Yeah. So speaking Spanish in Oaxaca isn't going to work.
Well, not when they speak Zapotec.
Yeah.
Well,
dialect.
Even Guatemala.
Or Guatemala.
Like Atitlan, where we were, Santiago de Atitlan, Spanish was not the language that was spoken.
Yeah,
it was
they speak
a Maya dialect.
Different dialects of Maya.
Yeah,
so it's very interesting.
Yeah, so in order to put together one of these service trips, how many volunteers do you really need from here going abroad in order to make it work?
Well, we take as many as we can.
Okay.
The place where we're going to in Guatemala next year, the hotel will only hold 42 people, so we're going to take probably 35 or 34 volunteers.
Okay.
And the rest hopefully will be professionals. So.
Okay.
But there's another team from Illinois that goes, and they don't take as big a group as I'm used to taking. So they'll take maybe 10 volunteers, and three or four professionals, okay. And they'll see not quite as many as we see, but they do a great job.
And then somebody there in the country also organizes volunteers from that end.
The in-country people, they do a lot of work.
Okay.
They help with customs,
mm-hmm.
and they do recruiting of patients. They do, how can I say, they go to churches and tell mm-hmm. people that we're going to be there on what date. And then they sign up the people by days. You know, we told them we see 500 a day, so they try to line up 500 for each day.
Okay.
And they arrange for the site of the clinic. I believe they've already identified this locale
yes,
for the clinic.
Uh-huh.
For
so they do a lot of work for us. So
so those people that are coming through, you already know then how many people are coming through, or the people know so that it's not like a drop-in, right?
Well, a lot of people will try to drop in. We take care of everybody that we can.
Right.
Hopefully it's organized. So, but sometimes it isn't.
Yeah.
I've got the pictures I just saw the other night where people are lined up. They lined up at 2 the night before outside the clinic. You know, so in the morning we get up and there are about 200 or 300 people wanting to get in. So. So it's kind of tough to turn them away when you work all day and then you get tired at the end of the day. And so we never turn anybody away if we can help it. So
yeah, absolutely. If you just joined us, you are listening to Central Coast Voices here on KCBX, your public radio station. My guests today are Philip Ortiz, who is an optometrist and the founder of EyeCare International, and that's the topic of our discussion today. He is joining us by phone from Illinois. Jim Patterson, former San Luis Obispo City Council member and volunteer for EyeCare International, who's done 4 service trips. Lee Livick, who is a volunteer and has been to Guatemala, and Habnia Hernandez, who is an AVID student and is joining us, and she's going to be talking about what AVID is in just a moment. The show is live, and we invite you to join our discussion today. If you have a question or comment about today's topic or something that you're interested in knowing about this organization or how you can get involved, give us a call. You can reach out to us on the air by calling 805-781-3875. Again, 781-3875. And Hamia, I am going to turn to you.
Okay.
So I love the name AVID, mm-hmm. but it's all caps, AVID. Mm-hmm. So I think it's different than what I think of as an AVID
yeah.
fan or an AVID something. Mm-hmm. So tell me what AVID is.
AVID stands for Advanced Via Individual Determination. And what it does, it helps first-time college students or first-time generations for the first time to go to college, I guess. And I joined my freshman year, and it truly has, like, helped me, find who I want to be in the future and where I want to go to college.
So when you're talking first generation, mm-hmm. tell me what that means.
Like first time college goers and your family.
Okay, so mm-hmm. you're the first
first
one in your family mm-hmm. to go to college. And where's your family from?
Mexico.
From Mexico. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when Phil was talking about the various places in Mexico mm-hmm. that his family is from, and some of the challenges for health and mm-hmm. for the resources, you've seen this
yeah.
firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
it kind of resonates with you.
Yeah, so it makes me want to help more. So I know that other people over there are being helped.
So how long have you been with AVID?
4 years now.
Years. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me about what the AVID participants do to help eye care.
So I started first learning how to work the machines and how to read prescriptions, through the lensometer, the machines. So first I had to learn how to read the glasses and their prescriptions, and then we sort everything out so that people at the volunteers station, they can find the glasses easier.
Now, I really have to plead ignorance here because I had this vision when I donated my glasses that someone would pop the lenses out. Would just take the frames and then would put new lenses in it to accommodate who the person was. I had no idea that the lenses would go into a lensometer mm-hmm. and somebody would read that prescription and catalog it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Catalog it. Mm-hmm. And then all of those prescriptions and glasses then go with you to these countries, and you have like this huge war chest, if you will, of these prescription glasses that someone has, you know, what, 100, 200 vision, and you've got a pair, and you take it out and give it to them, right?
That's a good description of how it works, yes.
Wow.
And, you know, what's interesting about it, Chris, is there's literally tens of thousands of prescriptions. And so, you know, we take maybe 6,000 pairs of glasses, and we get the raw glasses from donations locally, but also the Lions Club.
Because vision is their thing, right?
They give us
California.
Thousands of pairs, but they're not neutralized and so or cleaned. And so,
what does neutralized mean?
That's what she was discussing about using the lensometer to identify what the prescription is.
Okay.
And we have bifocals, we have progressives, and then we have single vision. I mean, there's a lot to it.
We have reading glasses.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's what the Avid students do for us. It's a very, very important part of the success of the program.
Oh, my goodness.
Identifying the prescription. And then they have to be put in an order so you can find them again. And there's a way that that's done. So when we get a prescription for a patient down in, say, Guatemala, uh-huh. We can go to the inventory. And rarely do we find one that is exactly what was written, and there are ways you can modify it, and that's one of the things that the volunteers learn to do is how to modify the prescription so it still works for the patient, because the likelihood of having the exact prescription is rare, especially with both eyes that may be a little bit different.
Right.
But without the AVID students, it would be much more problematic for us because, you know, we end up leaving a couple of thousand pairs down there, so we have to replenish the inventory every year. And, you know, we use the AVID students to do that.
Wow. That, you know, for you, Havnia, mm-hmm. that's got to feel like you're doing something really special and important.
That's why that's why I keep going back every year, try to help out.
So is it a period of time that you do this?
I believe.
It's after school, like from 3 to 5, one day a week. I wanted to add, though, that even before that we work with the AVID students, we take all the glasses that we've received or collected from Lions or from, you know, local donations. And there's one day a year, Make a Difference Day, and we work with Cal Poly, and we arrange to have they're usually student volunteers, local Girl Scouts, and we get a big room at Cal Poly, and we have a day of washing all the glasses, checking, weeding out broken ones, things like that.
What about people like me who are terrible about not ever using their glasses case? So all of my glasses look like somebody has dragged it across asphalt?
Well, depending on where they're, you know, sometimes they're still usable. Just depends. We check them. And through the process.
Yeah, because I get new glasses when I can't see through them anymore.
Then we probably...
I'm really horrible about that.
If they're nice, really nice designer
see,
frames.
See, I really thought people were popping the lenses out.
Sometimes.
I thought, oh, well, this will be fine. I didn't think somebody was going to actually try to look through them. How embarrassing. So let's take a phone call here from Roy. Roy, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I watched a program on TED Talks. This gentleman had developed a pair of reading glasses that were water-filled that had two little adjustment screws on the sides, the arms of the glasses. And they could dial those into a specific prescription for a person. And I was just wondering if that program is in effect, or what's do they have any information about that?
I have heard about that, but it's probably something we would have to buy. You have to buy those glasses, and that's something we we don't have the money to do that. So whether it would be practical for us, because we see, as I said, 500 patients a day, that's, we run them through the our process pretty rapidly. It's hard to spend a lot of time with individual patients, although sometimes we do. So, yeah. But I know what you're talking about, but I haven't researched it myself.
They look like big welder's goggles.
Yes.
Well, they look very much similar to a pair of horn-rimmed glasses. And the one thing he was saying, the inventor of these things, is they had them down to under $5 a pair. So I was just curious.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, if we would use all the 2,000 patients at $5 a pair, that would be more than $100. So it would be tough for us, I think.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though.
But well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Roy.
Chris,
thank you. Yeah.
Could I drop back just a little bit on information for you?
Of course you can.
Are we there?
Yes, go right ahead.
And, in 1989, my daughter got married. She's Dawn Ortiz Legg, and she moved to California. And my wife and
that name sounds a little familiar to me.
Well, she's running for the state assembly.
That Dawn Ortiz Legg.
That's the one. Yeah. Good thing there's only one. But anyway, we bought a house in Avila. On Avila Beach, and my wife was an interior designer, and she went to, we had a house in Cambria, and she saw this carpenter or contractor in Cambria, and she liked his work, so she invited him to do our house that we had purchased in Avila. So while he was there working on the house, he heard me talking on the phone about going to Guatemala, and he asked me what that was about, and he says, I told him what it was. We take, glasses, and we go to different countries. And he says, well, can I go?
Wow.
I said, sure. And Lance Kinney, a photographer.
Lance Kinney's a great photographer.
Yeah, so he said, well, I want to go as your photographer. So he's been going as our photographer, and he's been probably the key to having so many great volunteers in California.
Wow.
Because he wound up with Klaus Schumann and Jay Adams, who we all know, they live in Paso, and Klaus has his basement full of these neutralized glasses, and Jay helps him, and without Klaus and Jay and Lance, we wouldn't be in California. So I want to give them credit for all the work they have done over the years. So.
Well, it's really great that you're giving Klaus credit, because Klaus is hanging on another line. So I'm going to bring Klaus in right now so you can talk directly to him. Hold on. Klaus, are you there? Klaus?
I have the radio on.
Hello, Klaus.
Hello.
Hi, Klaus.
Yes.
Hi. You're on the air.
I'm on the air already?
You are on the air already.
Hey, Klaus.
Well, yeah, thank you very much to have the show today.
Oh.
And I guess it's a timely call from my side.
Yes.
Hi, hello.
Hello. Hey, Klaus.
Hi, Klaus.
Yeah, well, how's everybody?
Everybody is good. Klaus,
yes.
Phil was.
I just heard you on the radio plugging me in, and my wife Jay. So really appreciated that. Also, I really like to say hello to Javier.
Hello, Klaus.
I have worked with her a couple of years ago on the glasses preparation, and my wife and I, we were on 11 on those trips, and we have been also very much involved in the preparation of the eyeglasses for those trips. And that is actually what I call in today, because that is a really good news, feel-good story for the whole county. You know, in the preparation of the glasses, there are almost, I think, as many as 200 people out of the county involved. You know, it's the Cal Poly students are involved when they make a difference day in cleaning the glasses. Then it goes to the advancement via individual determination. The people, at the Paso Robles High School, which have done a terrific job. And then also the Pacific Beach Alternative High School on Los Osos Valley Boulevard. Those people are involved in this, as well as also Of course, I think the Key Club at Atascadero High School was involved at one time, and numerous ICARE local volunteers. You know, and that all resulted actually in the, not only that we supplied eyeglasses for three of the trips in Honduras, five in Guatemala, three to Mexico, and one to Peru, but at least as long as we are on for the last 11 years.
Wow.
Also, we have, in addition to it, we have been able, because of the great work at the high school and also the other people shipping in, you know, we have been able to send 3,000 glasses to Ghana, 3,000 glasses to Haiti, and several hundred reader glasses to Nepal, you know, through the good people here in Hens in Nepal. So this is a whole community effort, and I really want to thank everybody involved in this. I think everybody can feel quite good about it. Right, Hapnia? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yes.
You know, Chris, I mentioned that a process of a patient moving through the clinic and the different stations that they go to receive different tests and so forth.
Right.
And at the last station where they actually receive the eyeglasses and are fitted, Jay and Klaus are the ones who train the people who are able to pull the glasses from the inventory and help the patient fit them and make sure that they solve the vision problem. And so they hold training sessions for the local volunteers because there is, you know, some expertise required or special skill required to know how to modify prescriptions so they will still work and improve vision.
Right.
And without Jay and Klaus here to do that for us, it would be really problematic. So they have really, over the years, not only built the inventories year after year, but also helped train people to do that specialized job at the clinics.
Klaus, I'm really curious. How did you get involved with ICARE International?
Well, I came to this country in 1972, and then I live in Paso Robles since 1991. My wife then got retired around 2003 or 4, and I was retired already before. And we were traveling a lot, but we were kind of looking for that you can combine traveling with service. And this is exactly what ICARE does. You know, so we go to those various countries. Some are very beautiful, very interesting countries, like Guatemala with the Mayan tradition and so on, the ruins there and so on. So often after the clinic is over, which takes maybe about a week total, you know, setting the clinic up, the 4 days of seeing people, then taking the clinic down, then everybody is ready for some R&R, and one can then combine it. You know, with, in our case, we'd like to look at the Mayan ruins or other things, you know, which can do in those countries. They are very, very beautiful countries, obviously.
Had you been to these kind of countries before you got involved with ICARE International?
No, I have not. I have been to Mexico before, shortly, but no, with ICARE, we got really involved, specifically in Honduras and Guatemala, I would say.
Yeah.
And this is a very interesting country to visit.
Yeah, so it really opened you to a new world.
It does. It does. The whole clinic is really a tremendous experience. We have been on, I think, 10 clinics now ourselves, and everyone is different from every other one. And it's a great bonding experience also with the people volunteering. You know, you always remain friends and know each other, and it's a very special situation. And for some people, it's definitely a life-altering experience, really it is.
Before your professional volunteer career, what was your career?
Well, I started out as a lawyer in Germany, and then I switched to truck driving in the United States, the big 18-wheelers.
You went from being an attorney to a truck driver?
That's right, yes.
Okay.
That is somewhat unusual.
That's a good call, by the way.
So my marriage to an American citizen was in between as well, you know. So, I live in Paso Robles since 1991. I think I mentioned that before. And since 2004 and 5, we make sure that we go one time a year on one trip with Phil. Thank you, Phil, for everything.
Well, thank you, Klaus and Jay.
And thank you for calling in, Klaus. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
Yeah, well, thank you for having the show. And as I say, you know, it's a very good news story for community, the entire community of San Luis Obispo County.
So, Klaus, before you go, you would encourage people to become volunteers for this, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you need more volunteers for this.
We always need volunteers, obviously. The need is tremendous in those countries.
Yeah.
You know, we can only, the few days we are there, you know, you could serve many, many people. I mean, our clinics are designed, they're all recycled, you know, used eyeglasses we use. And they are designed to give to be given out to up to 2,000 people in 4 days. You know, those you wouldn't sit still in those 4 days. I'm sure there's a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to sit in a lawn chair and get sun, that's probably not the person you're looking for.
Not during the clinic. Maybe afterwards.
Maybe
right?
Later, huh? Yeah. Don't bring a pile of books to read. Yeah.
No, you will be definitely busy and quite exhausted at the end of the day, and also that's for sure. But that is part of the deal, and the people we serve are absolutely wonderful. I have to say, they are so patient and so grateful. I mean, I could spend the rest of the hour on the phone talking about it, but I think I better get off and get somebody else a chance.
Thank you, Klaus.
Thank you, Klaus.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Can I mention we're doing the same thing? Here in Morris, Illinois, with the high school students, with the honor students at Morris High School.
For them, the same thing that the Avid students?
They're working on glasses as well.
Great.
And at my alma mater high school in Ottawa, Illinois, Marquette High School, we got students over there working on glasses. So it just takes a lot of volunteer to accomplish this, and I'm just grateful that everybody is willing to help.
Well, that's fantastic. You are listening to KCBX, your public radio station at 90.1 San Luis Obispo, 91.7 Salinas to Paso Robles, 89.5 Santa Barbara, and around the world at kcbx.org. Eye Care volunteers, including volunteer optometrists and other professionals, donate their time and pay for their own travel and living expenses to bring vision to areas and countries where sight for many would not happen. Eye Care International collaborates with community service groups, civic and government organizations, translators, and medical and business communities, both locally and in host countries. And today I'm talking with a few of the individuals locally who are participating in efforts to make vision for others a reality. Philip Ortiz, optometrist and founder of Eye Care International, has joined us by phone from Illinois. Jim Patterson, former San Luis Obispo County Supervisor and volunteer with Eye Care International. Lee Livick, who's a volunteer with Eye Care International. And Hatnia Hernandez, who is an Avid student, are here today. And we're talking about Eye Care International. And we also are talking about a couple other things that related to Eye Care International. One, you have a fundraiser that is coming up, because sounds like there is a lot of stuff that there's a cost for, right?
Right. And supplies for the clinic itself, equipment. You know, we mentioned the lensometers. We have three that we use just at Paso Robles High, and there's a lot of instruments that we use at the clinics. As Phil mentioned, you know, everything was confiscated in Mexico.
So they actually took the equipment too?
Right. Am I right, Phil? Everything,
yes.
Everything
oh, wow.
Except for one piece is still down there, and we don't know if or when we will be able to retrieve that. So I think we're kind of moving forward with the idea to purchase new. So
okay,
we've had an annual fundraiser here in California, and we have a Avila Bay Athletic Club, who is wonderful. They've been our sponsor site. They donate the facilities and give us it's a wonderful venue. This will be our 11th year. We didn't have an event last year just because for various reasons, but we are planning this year's event, which will be on August 27th from 6 to 9 p.m., and it's a dinner, live music and a silent auction, and it's just a wonderful time. It's always usually beautiful weather, and it's our big thing where we raise the funds we need to do what eye care does.
If someone wanted, you know, if there was an optometrist or if there was a vision center or something mm-hmm. that wanted to donate any equipment to assist you as well, can they do that?
Yep. Phil?
Yes, they can.
And
yeah.
Can you mention what kind of equipment or materials, supplies, if people wanted to donate or had the resources to donate that you would need?
Well, there are hand instruments that we use. They're called ophthalmoscopes mm-hmm. and retinoscopes, where we
right.
use to examine inside of the eye.
Uh-huh.
We could always use those, and those are some of that we have lost in Oaxaca.
Okay.
This last year. So, also we do blood pressure and blood sugar screenings, and if anybody has some blood screening supplies, we would happy to accept those as well.
Okay.
What else? Can Jim think of anything? Lee?
Well, I just wanted to mention that the fundraising is to cover incidentals.
Right.
Dr. Ortiz and Lee both mentioned equipment, but there are other expenses. Now, the individual volunteers, and that includes the doctors, we pay our own travel expenses and lodging and food and that sort of thing. But there are incidentals, too. Oftentimes, we have to pay more freight because we're taking so much down there with us that we can't all get it on with our allowable luggage. And that's quite mm-hmm. expensive, both mm-hmm. going down and coming back. That can get quite expensive. And then travel to and from clinics, from the airport to the hotel, that sort of thing. Those kinds of costs are often covered by eye care and
okay.
then any facility costs. I do want to mention also, though, that we've had some local donors, the Rotary Club here in San Luis Obispo, the De Tolosa mm-hmm. Wednesday Afternoon Club. They have given monetary donations to eye care to help us buy things that we are in short supply of, like
great.
Sunglasses and readers that we may need. Also, they provided funding to allow us, some of the patients have prescriptions that are
specialized that
we actually have lenses ground here in the United States, and we fit them when we're down there, and then the lenses will be ground and put in frames and then sent down to people, and they help cover that cost, too.
Okay.
Especially sometimes with children's glasses, too. We just
yeah.
don't have
right.
big selection of children's glasses, and often we do have to have them specially filled.
Is there ever a way or is there ever a call for sponsorship, for instance, of students like Javier, who want to go on a service trip who may or may not have the resources to be able to go?
Well, right now we just are no longer allowed to have anyone under 18
okay.
go on a service trip, unfortunately, due to our insurance.
Our insurance company.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. You need to wait a little
yeah.
while.
Yeah.
I'm 18. That's
but we would love.
Are you 18?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking spring break, maybe next year. We would love to have some of the Avid students be able to join us, not only
to help out
and see, you mm-hmm. know, be rewarded to see what all their hard work has gone towards, but they would be great translators. If any of them,
yeah.
are probably some of them I know are bilingual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a double, you know, double.
You know,
bonus.
Out of curiosity, about what is the average cost for mm-hmm. you to go on a trip that you're paying for yourself for the volunteers?
Well, I'm sorry.
What does
the cost?
Last year,
I can say from my Guatemala. Santiago de Atitlan, like airfare was approximately $500 round trip, and then the hotel I shared a room was maybe $40 a night for seven nights, and then food. I mean, it was totally under $1,000 for an amazing experience, and I had never been to that country, so that was all inclusive for all my expenses.
Pretty neat,
and yeah, it was a wonderful experience. Yeah.
And I'm curious, Lee, why you got involved with it.
Well, I do a lot of volunteer work And I'm, I think a friend of, a mutual friend of Jim's and I was, had gotten involved. And I also know Ann Sponauer, who's been the AVID coordinator at Paso High, and I knew she was, so she's also deserves major kudos because she's worked with the AVID students for a long time, and I knew she somehow connected Klaus and Jay and got the glasses thing going. And so I have worn glasses, high prescription glasses, corrective lenses, since I was in elementary school, and just the thought of what my life would be if I did not have that.
If you couldn't see well.
I just couldn't even imagine it. I mean, I would be able to do nothing. I've been pretty close to legally blind. So I, it just seemed like such a perfect volunteer opportunity for me, even if I never went on a trip, just to help with the AVID students and get the glasses ready. And then when the trip came up, I just thought I would love to go to help to see the whole process. And it was so rewarding that I could not I was so happy that I went. Especially the, to me, the women, a lot of the women sew, they do amazing embroidery and beadwork, and they have never had reading glasses. Their vision was so poor, and they're trying to do this close-up,
really
tiny
work.
And I know how my eyes are failing at my age, and to be able to give them reading glasses was just, and see their faces light up when they could see, it was very rewarding. And the you know, they're closer to the equator, so the they work, the farmers that work out in the fields all day, they have cataracts. Some of the people had had cataract surgery, and the procedure was done on the wrong eye. And, I mean, it was just horrible, the some of the things that we saw. So they were so, so happy to get this.
To get the help.
So
can,
when,
can I mention somebody else that's been important for iCare at all? You
of
mentioned
course you can.
Lance Kinney and Naomi Kinney. Naomi was at the Rabobank. And Lance has been spearheading the fundraisers. He originally started with the Avila Bay Club. And what was it, 10, 11 years ago, Lee? Is that what you said?
So we've had
and
10.
And Ronald Bank has been a big annual contributor to iCare International.
We just did get a wonderful sponsorship from Rabobank and San Luis. And also Castoro Winery is providing all the wine for our event, so thank you to both of them.
There's so many people that help out, it's just impossible to name everybody, but I know we have a lot of optometrists and ophthalmologists in San Luis Obispo area and Santa Barbara that if any of them are listening, I've sent them an email advising them about the program today and asked them to call in, but everybody's working, I'm sure. So we still need a, one or two or three optometrists or ophthalmologists to go with us for next.
Are we going to be doing surgeries?
Because
cataract. Are will there be a cataract clinic?
I don't think so at this time. We're not planning it. So I'd love to do it, but it's just really very labor-intensive thing. It's expensive. The equipment is ship is expensive, and I'm not working on it at this point.
Okay.
So,
doctor, there's
that.
An amazing doctor ophthalmologist from Idaho that comes partners with us sometimes.
He does free cataract surgeries every year.
So I mean, there's just so many people that give so much.
And you mentioned, too, especially for countries that are closer to the equator, that you do distribute sunglasses as well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times
they have no sun protection, not only from the sun, but from the dust and the wind. They come in with eye, you know, just horrible eye abscesses and irritations. And so we also usually get eye drops to dispense to just try to help with that.
Where are the collection centers for glasses?
Locally, we just...
Any eye doctor will take them.
We just get them, from eye doctors.
From eye doctors?
And from organizations like Rotary that want to contribute and they have members who have volunteered in the past, they'll collect them from their groups and then give them to one of us, contact us, and let us know that they have them. But Jay and Klaus typically go up to the Bay Area every year to the Lions Club warehouse and bring thousands of pairs back. But locally, and this is a question, too, is how can people get involved?
Right.
There are many organizations that do this kind of work, and if somebody wanted to volunteer with iCare specifically, they can go online to the iCare website. They can contact Lee or myself or just talk to their optometrist because they probably know other organizations that do this kind of work if they want to volunteer.
Yeah.
But I see Holly's on the phone. She may be calling from the Sierras. So it's the same Holly.
Okay, let's see. Holly, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Holly.
Ah, hello. Thanks for taking the call.
Oh, it's not that Holly. Yeah.
No, it's a different Holly,
Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, actually, I have two, but they're short.
That's okay.
I'm interested in, since you are screening for diabetes, hypertension, and so forth, what if you find a person, even with perhaps glaucoma, will need lifelong follow-up, and how is this arranged, and who pays for this? Second question regarding this is, if perhaps, say, a retired physician or RN would like to go and help with this, and I know a lot of us would, how is that covered for their own malpractice insurance, and is it possible to do this without, you know, resuming that very expensive insurance?
Good questions. Phil?
No, we don't worry about malpractice. We don't have malpractice coverage in different countries, so we don't worry about it. So, and we have insurance. What do you call that? Liability insurance now too that would cover, but it wouldn't cover malpractice. So, and if any medical doctor or nurse would like to go, they just have to contact one of the members, and we'll see if we could line it up for you.
And the
so
first question,
as far as the follow-up on diabetes and glaucoma, that's always problematic because most people don't have money to go to the doctors. That's why they come to see us. Many people that are 60, 70 years old have never been to any doctor,
we depend on a ground host
to make arrangements with community health service or something that when we find somebody with high blood sugars and that or hypertension, then we refer them to our ground hosts. So that's, and then we just hope for the best.
Phil, do you take do you encourage or do you take individuals with you that can do some kind of health education or at least explanation of of what you're finding, or can?
Well, we try to explain what we find to mm-hmm. the patients, mm-hmm. But we don't take anybody specifically to explain, do any explanations. Although our ground hosts, our land hosts, they do that work as far as explaining to the patients what their problem is.
Yeah.
So,
In some of the countries, do they have, for instance, here we have sometimes promotores that live in communities that do education. Do you ever find that the communities have similar kinds of community members?
Did we lose him?
Did we lose Phil? No? Yeah? Phil? I think we may have lost Phil.
Oh. Looks like it. Yeah, Chris, I'm not aware of anything. We do let the patient know if they have a particular problem. That's one of the things that I at least identifies it. I don't know that there's follow-up other than if the host in the respective country that we're in is able to follow up and get them some type of medical care. In Honduras, both times that we were down there, we were actually adjacent to a health clinic.
Okay.
The first year we held our clinic in the health clinic. The next year we were adjacent to it, so people would have access to to the clinic.
Okay. Phil, you're back?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about health care. Like you mentioned Habanera going, and I like to take young people, and we have sponsored, iCare has paid for our optometry students to go with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think it's a great experience for them because then they realize how lucky they are to be here in the United States.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's, you know, we have so much, and many of us don't understand it. We don't appreciate it. And but when we travel to different countries, then it's very educational.
Yeah.
We've also have done eye missions with the Hopi Indians in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it with in Immokalee, Florida, with the field workers there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so difficult because there are so many restrictions with our government. I've tried to set up trips to our Indian reservations here, and it's just very, very difficult. So,
yeah, it's interesting because as I was looking through your website, I was also thinking, gosh, you know, I'm thinking of so many places in our country too.
Yes,
that
exactly.
There are the same kinds of needs, and it's interesting to hear you say that. How unfortunate.
Yes, it is. So.
And that needs to be responded to at some point, too. That's insanity.
Yeah, I've got to mention something else. In 2002, my friend Dr. Carlos Perez from Guanajuato, he was with the federal government at that time in Mexico. And we'd worked together since 1989, did a lot of missions together. And we had talked about going to Cuba, doing an eye clinic there. So he made arrangements to go to with the Ministry of Health in Cuba to have a meeting. So my wife and I and my daughter and her friend, we flew down from LAX to Havana, Cuba. We had a meeting with the Ministry of Health one day, and it turns out that they didn't need us because it's socialized and everybody gets glasses and health care.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's 100% literacy. That was the other striking thing that that I learned.
Wow.
Because when Castro took over, he made the rich people go and live with the poor people and teach them how to read. So,
that could be a whole nother show, Phil.
That could
be a lot of shows. Real quickly, Phil, we got about 30 seconds. Is there something you want to make sure you say besides make sure that you get participation in Avila Beach fundraiser?
Correct. That's what I'd like to do, to remind everybody that August 27th. What time is it, Lee? From 5?
6 to 9, and tickets
to
are
9.
Available.
It's really a delightful, easy evening, no pressure. Yep.
Brownpapertickets.com.
All right. I want to thank my guests for today's show, Philip Ortiz, Jim Patterson, Lee Leivick, Habnia Hernandez, and everyone who called in with comments and questions. Next week, Fred Monroe will host guests Greg Ellis Valencia and Victoria of One Cool Earth as they talk about the value of outdoor education and student health, academics, and well-being. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation, and made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices.
Yeah, thank you.